This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. We are a culture fascinated with style. There always seems to be some award ceremony or gala where people are talking about what everyone is wearing.
And it seems like it's always Fashion Week somewhere, am I right?
Avery Trufelman, living every week like it's Fashion Week.
And there are street style blogs and festival fashion roundups, and then out of the sidewalks and the catwalks, a style emerges. And then it comes time for the mass market to get the look.
You might not realize it, but subconsciously, you can kind of tell when styles are shifting.
You may not think that what you have on is dated, but this other thing suddenly may look new to you, and it's all over all the windows, it's all over all the racks, and you probably would get influenced by that.
Professor Sarah Pettit, coordinator of the Fabric Styling Program at the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York. Whether or not you consciously notice it, the trend cycle is circling all around you, and it's moving fast. It's not like we just have a spring fashion season and a fall fashion season. There's now a steady turnover of styles.
If you go to certain stores like H&M, they change their line maybe every 2 weeks. They have to get us to throw our clothes out so that we buy new things. This creates manufacturing, this creates sales, and it makes the monetary retail world go round.
Most trends are cyclical. The question is about timing, about when it's time for a trend to come back around again. And to get their timing right, a lot of designers and retailers and fashion students turn to one major company, WGSN, which is a global trend forecasting agency.
It's a little bit of an industry secret in a way.
This is Sarah Owen, a forecaster at WGSN.
We have been around for 18 years. We're in over 94 countries in terms of clients. And around 6,000 companies subscribe to us.
And WGSN is part publishing platform, part fashion house, part research company. And what they provide is a comprehensive website behind an extremely steep paywall, like tens of thousands of dollars. But pretty much every major manufacturer, design studio, and marketing company subscribes to it.
So a few of our clients range from fashion companies such as Nike and Coach and H&M to food and beverage companies like Starbucks to TV networks like NBC and Nickelodeon. So it's quite varied.
WGSN reports on all kinds of trends, including behavior patterns, consumption patterns, and advertising predictions. But the majority of their users are coming at it from the design side.
So if you are a designer, colorist, or merchandiser for a major company or brand, you'd consult WGSN to figure out what colors will be in and what styles are ahead. And whether designers heed this advice or not, it's considered essential to at least know what WGSN is saying, because they're commenting on trends they notice in a really in-depth way.
So there's that level of analysis that you just can't find, and people actually just don't have the time to do themselves.
And to keep ahead of the trend cycle, WGSN predicts 2 years in advance.
That's as long as we can really look ahead with our qualitative and quantitative analysis. Further out than that, and it's really quiet. It's speculating, guesstimation, as you want to say.
But honestly, I had a really hard time wrapping my head around WGSN and what they offer until Sarah let me take a peek at the site.
It is a website behind a paywall.
A really beautiful, sleek website. It almost looked like an upscale online store, but then when you click a category, it looks more like a Pinterest page, just loaded with pictures.
So we have catwalks, images, high resolution, all of those. Original imagery for street style, for trade shows, for denim.
Why does denim get its own category?
It's a huge market. There's a denim senior editor, denim director, two, I think, denim associate editors.
The editors are working on articles that not only find the trends, but explain them.
Because we do work so far in advance, I did do a report close to 2 years ago. It was called The New Young Contemporary.
This report Sarah did on the New Young Contemporary was about the next generation of consumers, Gen Z.
Your Gen Z is your teenager. She's about to go back to school. She's back to school shopping. She's still going to festivals. She lives at home. She's obviously a digital native. Multi-screen personality.
And Sarah's report found that Gen Z's idols are fashion models, not movie actresses. And so these models are on Instagram and in magazines wearing couture on the runways, and this makes the members of Gen Z want access to high fashion.
And other researchers at WGSN are already preparing for the next wave of consumers after Gen Z.
Generation Alpha, I think. They're the newest, they're the ones under Gen Z.
Welcome to Irrelevancy, Millennials.
In addition to the reports and the images, WGSN has this really fascinating component that makes it very, very different from a journalism site or a fashion blog. They have a database full of colors, patterns, and 71,000 original design templates for design teams to just use however they want.
So there really is a lot that you can take as a designer, open it in Illustrator or Photoshop, and rework it however works for your customer. You'll get embellishments and trims, and you have prints and graphics and clip art there as well. To me, it's connecting the dots, it's pattern recognition, it's taking those cues that and pairing that with that data that will kind of inform the future. Or create it, that's our tagline.
Create tomorrow is actually written in huge neon letters in WGSN's New York office, which is, I don't know, it's kind of strange to see. It made me wonder if WGSN was catering to my tastes or actually creating them for me. They have such a strong influence in the industry. I can't tell if they're reporting trends or dictating them.
Yeah, that's always a hard one because, like I said, we do have some of the most influential and recognizable brands in the world using us. So it's like, did we create it or was it actually about to come to fruition?
But ultimately, the buck stops with us, the consumer.
What's the thing you can lead a horse to water or something, but you can't make him drink?
Professor Sarah Pettit again.
You can show them things that are very far out, things that you think they should buy. But if it's something that's not going to work, they're not going to do it.
For example, Professor Pettit says there was a movement recently to bring back the miniskirt.
It flopped totally. The consumer has a voice in this, and it's a very active voice.
99% Invisible is Delaney Hall, Kurt Kohlstedt, Katie Mingle, Sharif Youssef, Avery Truffleman, Emmett Fitzgerald, Taryn Mazza, Sean Rial, and me, Roman Mars. Edited for radio by Vika Aronson. We are a project of 91.7 KALW and Radiotopia. Find out more at 99pi.org.